The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Welcome back to the Dark Side of the Pooch. The Rossbridge Animal Hospital is where my special guest, it's really his show. I'm actually the guest on this show. Dr. Rab Stewart, he runs this joint. The Rossbridge Animal Hospital, 208-0301, 208-0301, rossbridgevet.com. You can check them out, of course, on Facebook. And you have a little beleaguered look on your face there. You okay?
No, I have. Okay.
Are you all right?
I have this problem.
Okay.
So I bit my lip about a week and a half ago, and it starts out small.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if you have this problem or anyone else has this problem.
Yeah.
But these like sores in my mouth, they get to be like, they're like 3 and 4 millimeters wide.
Yes.
Does that ever happen to you?
Yeah, or dude, if
you
bite your lip? Dude, look at this thing I got on my body. It's kind of hard to look here.
I see it.
I bit that last night. And I thought I was going to have to go to the hospital for stitches. Seriously. I bit so hard. I thought I had bitten out a piece of my, I thought of Michael Tyson to myself. And I was like,
you want to see mine?
Yeah.
Can you, I don't know if you can see this.
I can. Yeah.
Can you see that?
Yeah. I think it has a lot to do. And that part of the body, that type of skin is the same type of, it doesn't have a scientific name for it. Same type of skin, like foreskin for like really gentle area skins, the perineum area, that stuff like heals really, really fast. And that's why, you know,
this thing doesn't.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. That's kind of strange because last night I was like, okay. And right now I can eat, I'm fine. But last night I was thinking to myself, I'm going to have to go to the damn hospital and get stitches inside my lip. Cause I mean, it would not stop bleeding. It was bleeding down my face. So, but I think it may have something to do with the weather too.
Maybe so, but I can't even brush my teeth without it bringing tears to my eyes. It wakes me up in the middle of the night because it's kind of like it's right on one of my teeth.
Yeah.
It's right on there.
That's not good.
And so it'll wake me up in the middle of the night. So anyway, you asked me about that look on my face, and that's because the way that my mouth was sitting, that thing was hurting.
Are you starting to get a callus on it?
A little bit, but I it's like, every time I brush my teeth, I feel like it goes away.
Yeah.
Because my toothbrush is hitting it.
Well, you know what our mothers would say, you know, salt water. That's all. That's my mom. Exactly. Sore throats, salt water, herpes, whatever you add.
Wounds.
Yeah. Just,
it's going to hurt.
I know, but that's what our mothers did. Salt water. You just put, just gargle salt water. It'd be fine. If we get the flu, you gargle salt water. Just do it. I'm like, okay. Well, yeah. I don't want this canker sores on the left-hand side of just salt water. And within a week, it's gone, but it burned like hell. Well, of course, we also had stuff called methylate. Do you remember methylate?
Was that like a brown liquid?
It was red. It was bright red. Oh, my gosh. And it was just like straight rubbing alcohol. And, I mean, you come in with like a 3 or 4 inch wound. You could have gotten stabbed out in the parking lot. And you come in and it would stain your skin. For like 3 or 4 days, it would just stain your skin this red, and it burnt so bad. And I remember my mom, she'd have a little, there was a little stick. Everyone knows what I'm talking about, methylate, and she'd stick it in there, and she'd be rubbing it on there, and it would burn so stinking bad. It was horrible.
Was terrible. Chris Rock had, when I was in high school, so this has been over 20 years ago. When I was in high school, Chris Rock had a comedy album out, and he did a bit on there about Robitussin and how his parents were always, no matter what's going on with your body, you're going to have Robitussin. If you have a wound on your body, they're going to rub Robitussin on it. Uh-huh. That was a really funny bit.
Yeah. I think Dennis Leary did a bit about NyQuil.
He
called it the big F and Q. He's like, if your mom was coming at you with the big F and Q, good night, you were going to be knocked out for 3 or 4 days. And when you woke up, you were going to be just fine. He's like,
we've got this, you know, while we're on the subject. So something interesting happened to me yesterday. My daughter has the flu. So I went to church and I took two out of my three kids, and my wife took our other daughter to the doctor. And so she calls me in the middle of service, and I never mess with my phone during church. But if my wife is not with me, sure. You know, you know, she needs to reach me, so I'm going to get my phone. Yeah. So she calls me in the middle of service. And so I walk out and answer the phone. And they said, hey, they want to, my middle daughter's name's Lydia. And she said, they want to put Lydia in a drug trial for this flu medication. And I was like, no way. I don't know what this is. We're not going to do this.
Yeah.
So give me, she said, all right, well, they've got us and they have an appointment set up for us at 11 o'clock. So you need to call. If you have questions, you need to call and talk to this person that is doing the drug trial. So I'm all freaked out about it because in our industry, drug trial means that you're a guinea pig.
Yeah.
You have no clue what's going to happen to you. And I'm all for, like, let's say this, if I had cancer or something, mm-hmm. and I knew that I was going to, limited life if something major didn't happen.
Yeah.
And they said, hey, we've got this new chemo drug. It's really kind of your last resort. Oh, sure. Pump me full of it if I don't have any other alternative, but this is the flu, we're going to get over this no matter what.
Yeah.
So I'm all worked up and I call the nurse and she says, or I guess it's probably a rep for the company. She said, no. We're just, this drug's been out for 10 years. We just want to see if the kids like the taste. So I was like, okay, fine, sure. No problem. And they pay you. They really? Pay you. Wow. Yeah. And so then if any of our other kids get the flu, then they can do the test too. So when I got home from church, I was like, Lydia, why don't you go call from your brother's face?
There you go.
Get up there.
So did she like the taste, and what was the taste?
No, she hated the taste.
Oh, she hated the taste. She didn't like the taste.
I got home from church and I was like, all right, Lydia, what was it like? And two big thumbs down.
Really? And it's kind of hard to believe because, I mean, we all have gone through it. I mean, my kids will not eat or drink anything unless it's got some type of taste to it. And now they can even, if it's like that snot colored stuff, like amoxicillin, it's got everything. And of course they boost that up at the pharmacy, right? It's amoxicillin is like $50. And then for another 15, you can get it flavored. I'm like, you gotta be, it's like adding cherry to your Diet Coke or whatever. I'm like, really? they get you coming and going. But yeah, kids won't take it unless, but I mean, if it's got flavor to it, all of a sudden they think it tastes a lot better. But boy, you give them some straight chloraseptic, forget about it.
No.
Even if it means they feel better, they're not going to do it. Well, I'm glad your daughter's okay. And I'll be saying a prayer for the fact that she's got.
Yeah, she's feeling great, man. That drug works.
Does it work pretty good?
Yeah, it's called Zofluza.
Zofluza.
Don't confuse that with Zofluzy. Zofluzy. That's a different drug.
That sounds like a drug I would have taken 25 or 30 years ago. Zofluzy, you pick that up down at Jitterbugs, get some Zofluzy.
Hey,
so I'm glad you brought this up because you just said the magic two words around here in the Curry household, guinea pig. My guinea pigs, I had two, and then we had three more, and then we had three more. So what is that? Three, that's eight. So, I got rid of two. So we got six. So then we have two more. That was the third litter. And then, last week, and I can't even keep track, it's almost 65 days to the day. And people are like, well, separate the male and the female. Well, they have to have a lot of room. And I don't want to have two giant cages in my house. I'm not running Ed's Pet World here. By the way, this is brought to you by Ed's Pet World. The fine work they do down there, open for 50 years, exotic pets. I was down there just a couple days ago. I love Ed and Angie, the entire crew. Ed's Pet World, 50 years of service. They do wonderful work down there. Check out all their wonderful animals. And of course, also Sasquatch comics and toys and toys and comics. So I said, can I bring these guinea pigs down to you? Because I don't know what to do. And he goes, there's three things you can do. You can let him go. And of course, I'm not going to do that because I'm an animal lover.
Like in the backyard.
Yeah. And it's amazing because people are, that's what our moms and dads used to do. They're like, just let him go. You know, I can't tell you how many varmints my mom or dad probably let go in our backyard and just said they got away or they escaped. I don't know because they're, and thank goodness they didn't tell me before they died, but it was amazing how often my pets got lost. You know, my bearded dragon got lost. You know, my hamster got lost. I'm like, you know, and it's like, just funny because we just had him for about a month and he's gone already. So you can do that. And obviously I'm not going to do that. Then you can put him out in the backyard and cage him, but they have to have a heat lamp. I'm like, I'm not setting up a heat lamp out in my backyard. First of all, I don't need a fire. And I'm not, you know, and it went to 10 degrees this past week. So I'm not doing that. He said, or, you know, you get rid of them because they sell these things, right? But I can't find anybody that wants any of them. So I call him up on Wednesday. I said, I'm going to bring you three more. And you could do whatever you want with them. They're there. He's fine. So I wake up Wednesday morning and there's two babies in there. And I just have a cup of coffee. It's 3:30 in the morning. I'm going, wait a minute, because I know we don't have a tan one. And you know, and it's getting the point out where they're starting to, scramble on top of each other. I don't want to hurt them. So I said, I grabbed two and I take them down to Ed's Pet World. This is on Wednesday. Then Saturday night, I'm going to change their cage because we just had two newborns. She's given birth to four more.
Oh my gosh.
So it's two, three, two, and four. But she gave
this
birth.
The same guinea pig.
So my point is this. She gave birth to two on Wednesday, and I moved her out, and I could feel something wasn't right. I was like, she still got something going on there. I just figured maybe her skin was, flabby or something from giving birth to two. I didn't think for a thought that she had any more in there. And then she gave birth to four more 3 days later. How often does that happen to animals in the animal world? Does it ever happen to pups? And can you have, how far apart can you have puppies or kittens? Because I was thinking... It's crazy.
Yeah, that's very, I mean, that would not happen in dogs and cats. If there are still kittens and puppies in the womb 3 days after parturition starts, they're going to be dead. So the kind of rule of thumb is that once dogs and cats go into active labor, where
they call that parturition, is that what they call it?
Yeah, when they're actively pushing. Mm-hmm. So when they start actively pushing, once that first baby comes out, you want to have another baby within an hour.
Okay.
And yeah, if not, then that can be a sign that there is like a dystocia or some type of loss of the ability for the mother to be able to push those babies out. So we tell people that If you're approaching the hour and another puppy or kitten hasn't come, you need to start heading into a practice for a possible C-section.
Well, does that happen very often?
Yeah. And it depends on the breed. Yeah. It depends on the breed. So, those like pugs and bulldogs, that type of breed, French bulldogs, especially, those dogs really have a problem with dystocias. So those puppies have large heads. Mm-hmm. And they're not super big. You know, pugs and French bulldogs are not very big dogs. Yeah. English bulldogs are they're on the larger side, but, so you have a big head and you have a small birth canal. And so that's just a recipe for dystocia. A lot of breeds, they don't have problems. I mean, you can let them go as natural as you want, keep them at your house, and you're not going to have any problems. So most of the time, everything's really easy. But there are certain breeds that have issues. So those brachycephalic breeds, those flat-nosed breeds.
It can kill the female if they don't get those babies out? Or what happens there?
I mean, less likely. It's really a really small percentage of female, moms that die during birth. But if something were to stay in and then they get an infection from it, that's the issue. If the cervix doesn't close, then they're going to get infections in the uterus. And then they can become septic and you could lose them, but that's not something that's going to happen quickly. That's going to take days. You don't really get into a situation where when they're having babies, they're going to have some like a premature placental separation or something like that you would have in a person where there's lots of hemorrhage and it's very dangerous for the mother. Doesn't really happen in dogs. So it's not really something you have to worry about the mother as it is you have to worry about the babies.
All right. Well, I got rid of the male and come to find out. Well, I put the male in with one of the female offspring that they just gave birth to, and I think on the second one, and she was already bleeding. So he was already hitting that in the box on the way down to Ed's. I'm like, dude, I drove straight down there. They weren't in the box all day. They were in there the box for 15 minutes. And so he's already trying to mate with his sibling, which is normal. I mean, it's the animal world. We're not humans here. But I'm like, give it a rest. I mean, this thing was on. And it's amazing because I actually forgot for a couple of days I even had them. They are so quiet. And it's just totally different. So if I can give you any word of advice, if you want to get guinea pigs, the female's the way to go. And remember that if you have a male and a female, they're going to have babies. And they will have babies every 65 days, almost to the hour. But I cannot believe it. I saw, and I know there weren't more than two in there, Doc. I saw two because I'm in the cage is about the size of my computer. I saw the two. I lifted up the house. I wanted to sure everything was good. And I put it back down. And then I get there 3 days later, Saturday, and there's four more babies. And I'm like, where the hell did these come from?
It was great. See, we don't do a lot of exotic work. I mean, we do very little, if any, to be honest with you. So I'm going to look into this for you, and we're gonna figure this thing out.
Please do that.
If it's possible for guinea pigs to do that.
I do have a question real quick. Something happened to me, and I almost called you. And you know I don't call you unless it's an emergency, whether I've got, you know, grandis bulbus or whatever you call that thing, or whatever that happened.
Bulbus glandis.
Bulbus glandis. So, and I'm sure this has happened, and it was really, really cold this past week here, wherever you're listening. I mean, we have a lot of listeners outside the Birmingham area, but it got down to about 10 degrees, which is really cold for here. And we had some icing. So I guess it was Tuesday or Wednesday morning when it was really cold. And there's this dog that's standing in the middle of the road. He's emaciated. It's bad. So much you can see his haunches. It was not a good situation. And he's standing in the middle of the road and not wagging his tail, not nothing. And so I just kind of, you know, come on, boy, come over here. And so he came into my yard and he let me touch him and pet him. Now I've got two dogs and I'm renting a house. I can't take any more dogs in. I can certainly understand the compassion and the heart of people that are dog people. I get it. I mean, I really did. Cause it was 10 degrees outside. I didn't know what to do with this animal. So if I feed it, it's not going to go away. And so I called my next door neighbor, the one that's got seven dogs. I mean, they rescue animals. And the last thing I want to do is give them another dog because they don't need more dogs. You know, they got an 85-year-old over there that they don't work. They're disabled. And they're sitting there with seven
dogs. I met
them. Yeah. When we had one put down. Super beautiful, wonderful people. I didn't know what to do. So I called Gigi. She came over and she was almost in tears. She's like, it's going to die. And it was sleeping. It was laying down on my rug by my front door, I guess, trying to get heat. And I wanted it in my heart to take it down to the basement to do something with it. But what are you going to do? You know, so can you just give me an idea of what I should have done? Now, she called, she got on one of these apps in our neighborhood, and evidently a woman said it was her dog and she came to pick that dog up. And then she wasn't going to give it to her because she said, obviously you're not taking care of your animals because it was not in good shape. It was emaciated. I don't know how it ended, but the dog was taken away. But what should I have done? Taking it to a shelter? I mean, it was 5:30 in the afternoon. It was dark. Obviously, I was tired for the day, but I wanted to take care of this poor animal. It didn't look like it was going to make it through the night. But what was the thing I was supposed to do there?
You can try to take it to the Humane Society, but their hours are kind of limited these days. And sometimes you have to have an appointment. That's probably, if you want to be sure that your pets are staying safe and you're not going to get in a position where either the dog damages something or if you're not sure if the dog is friendly towards everybody, mm-hmm. you have to be careful. But the Humane Society, especially the one in Birmingham, it's a great option. You know, they're going to take care of those pets. One of the veterinarians there, studied under us for his what's called a preceptorship. So for your last 8 weeks of school, you go to a practice and you know, you just kind of learn how to practice outside of academia. Mm-hmm. So one of their lead vets was with us for 8 weeks. They've got great people there.
But if they're closed, or maybe if I'm afraid to get near this animal, what do I do with it? Just let it go. I mean, do I have to let it go or do I try to?
You can always bring it in. I mean, you can always bring it into your house. I mean, you just got to be sure that everybody understands that we don't really know the demeanor of this dog. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to be, you know, good Samaritans to it. We're going to bring it in. We're going to leave it in this certain room in our house.
Yeah.
Probably best to keep it out of carpeted areas because mm-hmm. if, let's say, the animal does have fleas, it's a lot harder to get rid of fleas if they get into carpet. So put them in a non-carpeted area and just give them food and water and just let them ride it out until you can either find somebody or you can get them to the Humane Society.
It banged me up, man. It banged me up. Cause I mean, I'm an animal lover and I just was like, cause I knew it was on my watch and I don't know. And again, you know, I'm a God person. I don't know why it picked my house of all the houses to stop in front of. And thank goodness. And I kept looking out the window in hopes it would just walk away. And I thought, this is not good. I was trying to
help you out with your guinea pig population. I was like, hey man, I'm hungry. You've got some guinea pigs you're trying to get rid of.
Hey, thank God for neighbors too. Cause my neighbors next door, they love their dogs too. And I was like, I do not want you to take this animal on because that's what they do. And they have a special needs son. They don't need any more chaos in their household. But I'm like, I don't know what to do with it. And she knew who to call and get on this app that was in town. And so it took care of it. So it was kind of strange, but anyway. Okay. So there you have. So, and that's something to keep in mind because we always say if your dog, I was going to take my dogs with me this morning. I had a couple errands to run and I didn't, because I felt like you've always told me if I'm uncomfortable in the car, then they're probably going to be uncomfortable in the car. I think Raina would have been fine. My Havanese, it's already kind of a shaken little dog. It's not good, much skin on it anyway, but if it's 15, 20 degrees outside and you don't have the heater on, they're probably going to be a little chilly. So make sure you
put 45. Yeah. Outside temperature of 45 is too cold. Yeah. 45 and lower. I mean, you look, they still got to go outside.
Yeah.
They still got to go outside and go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
So just because it's even if it's 32 degrees outside, you can still let your dog outside. But if you're 32 and below, I mean, it's go outside, go to the bathroom, come back in.
Yeah.
You know, if it's 45, if you're in between 45 and 32, you don't want them to be spending a lot of time outside because they're going to get uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. So you say that, but when you see these videos of dogs that are running around in the backyard in the snow for a half an hour, 45 minutes, are they not freezing?
No, they're having a good time, and that's fine. Just like us. I mean, like, you know, we can go outside when it's 15 degrees, as long as we're dressed appropriately, having a good time.
Yeah.
Eventually you're going to get cold enough where you have to come in.
Yeah.
So you just have to pay attention.
I got you. Something he's Dr. Rab Stewart. This is fascinating talk here as we do things a little differently. info@tonycurryradio.net for our mutt mail. We'll take some mutt mail if we get to it today. And of course you can check them out. RossBridgeVet.com, 208-0301 for all your boarding needs or any veterinarian help. They're the best. They do wonderful work down there. Research by the Royal Veterinarian College yesterday has added to growing concerns that many owners who acquired puppies during the height of the COVID pandemic in the United States are now struggling with their dog's behavior as they've reached 21 months. Among other findings, a fifth of owners surveyed that reported their dogs had eight or more problem behaviors at that age, such as pulling on the lead, clinginess, or aggression. 33% owners found training their dog much harder than they expected. They're saying we have an epidemic now of owners who quite frankly, aren't there for their animals. They think they're there for their animals. They think they're trying to do that. Basically, what they did is they had COVID. We had a pandemic. We were stuck inside. It's a great time to get to know our animal, train our animal. We'll be around to give it all this love. Things go back to normal. And they realize that it takes a lot of work to train, to love, to even walk an animal. It's not, you just don't get an animal and say, this is your house. I'll feed you twice a day. I'll see you around. It must be considered a member of the family. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because a lot of people who got animals during COVID now are realizing that they're stuck with an animal. It's just not getting the love it needs.
All right. Well, this, as you were telling the story, the thing that came to mind, and hopefully I won't step on too many toes here, but if it takes a worldwide pandemic for you to get a pet, like if it takes being locked in your house for 6 months or whatever it was to get an animal, maybe you really didn't want one that bad to begin with. And so now that the pet is not creating problems, because it's the same problems that everyone else has, but maybe it's just problems that this, you know, fringe pet owner doesn't want to deal with.
Yeah.
Now I'm sure that there are people who have had tons of dogs or cats in their life, and it just wasn't convenient to get a pet at that point, and so they got one. You know, mm-hmm. It wasn't that I'm bored, I'm going to get a dog. It was, I haven't had a dog in a long time and I want to get a dog and I know about dogs, so I'm going to do that. But I can almost promise you that a decent percentage of these people that got dogs just got it because they just needed something to do.
Yeah.
And then they found that it was much harder than what they thought it was going to be. So this study, it would be great if they could somehow figure out, okay, of these pet owners that got a pet during COVID, mm-hmm. how many pets have you had in your life? Is it your first pet or is it your 10th?
Yeah.
So let's figure out what kind of pet owners we have.
Okay, there you go. And I again, if you've had animals your entire life, you already know what you're in for. And we always say, listen, if before you have a child, go get yourself an animal first. See, because Dr. Claypo, our good friend, is going through it right now. He's got, has he sent you any pictures, by the way?
No.
I got to send you some pictures. He's got a couple of, what are they called? American dingoes, pugs. What are they called? I forget. Anyway, he got a couple of dogs, and they're precious. They're cute. Here, hold on a sec.
Yeah, send them over.
Let's see if I can find.
Because he's had dogs before, right? Oh, that's like a puggle.
Yeah. Yeah, they're
it's like a little puggle.
They're pretty precious. Of course, you know, the Claypos, they don't half-ass anything. I mean, these dogs are getting trained from the minute they showed up. They're getting trained. They have training there. They have training here. I'm like, okay, that's fine. That's do what you got to do. You got to do your thing. But I want to thank her name is I hope I'm saying it right. Her name is Sally Soledad with NPR Radio. She emailed me last week. She listens to our show. And she heard us doing this show on, the FDA and pharmaceutical company Loyal. We talked about it on the show. She said, you gave me an idea for a show that I'm going to do on NPR. And I heard that show today, which was really cool. And she gave us props, by the way. She said she mentioned Dark Side of the Pooch on TKR. And so we got some really cool props, but it was about, and she thought it was really neat that we had a veterinarian to talk about elongating the lives of our animals. And she's like, if you want to, she said, I'll be listening the next time you do a podcast, if you guys want to follow up on that. But they did a 2-hour show today on whether we should elongate the lives of our animals, which dogs can benefit from doing those types of things. And it's amazing because there's like 47,000 people that are part of the study, because they had to get 47,000 different animals or different breeds of dog, everything from pups to, like you said, 12, 13, 14 year olds, to see how they all react to this new medication. It's through Loyal, to see, you know, obviously it's like a guinea pig test. It's evidently safe through the FDA, but it's going to take a long time, 2, 3, 20 years to see if it actually works. Because you don't know how much longer these animals, you know, are going to live on it. But is there anything else you wanted to add to that? Because I thought that was a remarkable story. And I know a lot of people that were listening to the show were like, wow, that's a really cool idea. If I can get my dog to you know, live to be 14 to 15 years old when normally we go at 12 or 13, that's pretty cool.
It is a fascinating concept for sure. You know, studies like that take a long time because we're looking at the longevity of existence, you know, and so that's just not something that you can do over the course of even 10 years.
Well, and how do you do, and some people would say, well, you do it for human beings, but human beings are voluntarily taking these medications for placebo effect, all these things. What are you going to do? Get 47,000 dogs in a warehouse somewhere and over 10 years to figure out if it works or not? I mean, it's gotta be something that's you're living in. It's very fluid.
Yeah. And, you know, kind of like we talked about when we opened the show, I always think about what's the worst thing that could happen. And that's probably in some ways a good way to live your life, but in other ways, maybe not.
Yeah.
So my mind always goes towards, okay, what harm could this do? But I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that think, all right, well, I have this new puppy and I think I'm going to give this a try. And so let's take this group of dogs that are the same as they can be genetically, because that's the thing with the test is you have to set it up so that there is as little margin of error as possible, or, you know, the standard deviation, you know, you want that to be very small. Because if you have one group of animals and they differ, you know, wildly from another group, then your results may not be correct.
Yeah.
So, you know, you want them to be as genetically similar as possible, which it can be. I mean, that's hard. You're talking about 47,000 animals. You're not going to find 47,000 siblings.
Yeah.
You know, to do this on, you're just not. Yeah. But so you want to try to have that control as similar as it can be, so you don't have a lot of deviation from the results.
Yeah.
So not only is it going to take a long time, but your subjects, you have to be if you want the study to be done correctly, your subjects have to be, you know, of a certain age and breed from a genetic pool.
There you go. And thanks again to Sally Saladad from NPR for reaching out and listening to The Dark Side of the Pooch and Dr. Rab Stewart. And we're happy to give you guys any pointers, anything you need from us. So we're here to help you right here on Dark Side of the Pooch. It's great stuff. Tell people how they can find you, my friend. And by the way, I want to mention this show. We do it every single week. Great show. One of our favorite shows. Most listened to show brought to you, of course, by the fine folks down there. There's actually two locations now. Seth Cosby has Ed's Pet World, home of exotic pets down there. It's just a fun place. They've got tortoises and parakeets and bearded dragons and just I almost said something else that's funny. They just got so many great animals. I was thinking of something else bearded. Geez, always has been, it's been a long day. And then, of course, they also have Sasquatch Toys and Comics, which is down there on Citation Avenue. Check that out. They do wonderful work down as well. They have comics from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, toys that are unboxed. So check it out. They're killing it. They've been open up since October, so we could not do it without those fine establishments. But tell people how they can find you, the Rossbridge Animal Hospital.
You can call us at 208-0301. You can email us, rossbridgeanimalhospital@gmail.com, or you can find us on Facebook.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.